Welcome to the new Cat Chat, brought to you by Dr. Elsie's, the wonderful private company owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose personal mission is to formulate litters that keep cats using the litter box, which keeps them in their loving homes. I'm Tracy Hotchner, the author of The Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. My mission is to entertain, educate, and inspire cat lovers like you to give their kitty cats the best possible life in nutrition, affection, and environmental enrichment. With Dr. Elsie's support, the Cat Chat Show brings you interviews with cat authors and experts, some old favorites, some new conversations, so you can better understand and appreciate your own feline family members. Dr. Elsie's is also the founding and continuing sponsor of My Cat Film Festival, short films from around the world that celebrate kitty cats. Here's some exciting news. Thanks to Dr. Elsie's, you can now see streaming versions of the Cat Film Festival for free on Amazon Prime and Tubi TV. Hope you enjoy listening and watching. Lourdes Bravo, there you are. Are you up to your elbows in kittens, or is this a moment before the kitten season?
Just a moment before the kitten season.
Oh, boy. What a wild and crazy job. At where in your life did you think you'd wind up being a kitten nursery manager? It just sounds like the most... I know it's really bad that there's so many homeless kitties and mamaless kitties, and it's a huge job. But, oh, my God, you're just like... you're just with kittens all day long when the time is right. Do you love it to death?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this is an amazing job, so I absolutely love it.
So what was your personal journey to go from being an animal lover to the kitten nursery manager at the ASPCA? How does that happen? And what is the trajectory of that life?
Sure. I started off actually as a volunteer at my local shelter. I was there for several years as a foster, actually, for neonate kittens, funny enough. Very often it was neonate kittens that I fostered. Ultimately, a position opened up there. I started working there and I realized that this is what I wanted to do for a career. So soon after that, I ended up at the ASPCA, and then there was talk of opening a kitten nursery. They asked me to help with the project as far as some of the planning. And before you know it, I ended up becoming the manager.
Oh my God, that's really cool. So you really started out utterly grassroots, being that person who, for reasons unknown to the rest of the world, was bottle feeding little baby kittens like around the clock, right? They have to eat all the time, don't they?
All the time. Yes, they do. They're just like human babies.
Yeah, like every few hours. There's a friend of my show, Cat Chat, who's got a blog called Covered in Cat Hair. And she has, you know, not a big house, but one whole bathroom is her kitten nursery. And she does that as well. And I'm always amazed that you guys have that kind of tenacity, one little baby kitten at a time, saving their lives. And how often in the past did you know where they'd wind up?
You know, in the past, again, you don't necessarily know where they end up, but
right. The
one thing that always does sort of resonate for you is how much you're needed at that time. So, you know, a lot of people talk about it's really difficult that you had these kittens for so long and you give them up, but as soon as you give them up, there is more that needs you.
Yes.
So that really is what keeps you going is, you know, being there for those kittens.
Where was your previous shelter?
This was out in New Jersey.
I'll be darned. So you start at home. You're just a volunteer. Well, not just. You're a fabulous super volunteer, and you foster at home. And then you go to work at the shelter. And then the kind of creme de la creme of the sheltering world, the ASPCA, there's a spot for you there. And then they didn't have a kitten nursery yet. That's something new, right? I mean, I learned about this through an article in the New York Times, and there'll be a link to that article with the podcast of this show. So talk about how does a kitten nursery come to be, and why is it with the supposedly improved spay neuter that there's a need for a full on kitten nursery?
Absolutely. So, you know, the kitten nursery is, you know, one of the faceted responses to the cat and kitten overpopulation that, you know, this area is seeing. Of course, we're doing a great deal of effort as far as spaying and neutering goes. And that's definitely, you know, helping us there. But also we want to take care of the animals that unfortunately were missed by that opportunity, unfortunately. So that's where the kitten nursery comes in.
Does it have to be much more sterile, much more health conscious than just where cats are usually housed?
Definitely. This is, you know, far beyond your regular cat shelter. In 2014, the idea sort of came up when we were looking at what ways can we make an even greater impact to this population. And the idea was, you know, these kittens that come in that are underage, unfortunately, you know, if there's not a facility that is able to care for them 24/7, or there's a foster person or somebody who's able to take this animal home and do the round-the-clock bottle feeding, there's no place for these animals to be housed. So that's how the idea of the kitten nursery came up. So we had to think of what is a kitten nursery going to look like?
Yes, and so they turned to you because you had spent many years both fostering at home in your bathroom, so to speak, but also in another shelter and even at the ASPCA. How did it look different? Was it to make it more welcoming and comfortable for the volunteers and the staff who would be doing the feeding? I would think that might encourage more of them to come in.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, the aesthetics of the facility is one thing that we do take into consideration. We do we rely on our volunteers immensely. So, of course, we want to make sure that we're welcoming to our volunteers. But I think one of the biggest differences that people don't realize is very young kittens, and we see kittens come in, I mean, days old. They have little to no immune system.
Right.
So for us, we really have to be very cognizant on how we care for them. And we're caring for not just one or two litters at a time, such as a foster home would do. We're caring for almost 300 kittens at any given time.
My gosh.
So when you're having a mass amount of animals housed in one place, we have to take absolutely every precaution to make sure that we're not spreading any kind of illness, because if they do come in contact with an illness, they very likely may not be able to fight it off.
Right. The upper respiratory disease is like kitty sniffles can be kitty death to a wee tiny kitten.
Exactly.
So do you guys wear masks and gloves and you know, walk through baths of chlorine, or how do you manage that?
Sure. So we have a very strict PPE protocol. That's personal protective equipment. And that just refers to, you know, wearing gloves and changing your gloves in between touching kittens, wearing disposable gowns over your clothing. We wear shoe covers when we move from one section to the other. We've also arranged the cages in such a way that we can isolate. If we've identified an animal is sick, we're able to isolate them in another section so they're not in direct contact with some of our healthier kittens and the rest of the population. So I think, you know, those precautions are really what keeps the population as healthy as possible.
And what happens to the moms? I mean, who brings you these these litters? Is it an animal care control officer and they couldn't quite catch the mom, or is it individuals? Yeah. How do they come to you, in a cardboard box or a phone call? Yeah. How does the whole litter find its way to you?
That's an excellent question. Actually, for the vast majority of the animals that we get in, they come in as litters without their mother. We work primarily with Animal Care Centers of New York City to get our animals. So they're contacting us all day long, letting us know what's come in so far. We usually do same-day transport, so they'll let us know what has come in today, and we'll let them know based on our capacity and our staffing and our resources what we're able to take in for the day. So the vast majority of the kittens that come in tend to be litters of kittens or singleton kittens on their own without their mother. Now, unfortunately, the situation is the mother, a good Samaritan has found these litter of kittens or this kitten alone somewhere behind the trash can and they're, you know, in their backyard, so on and so forth. And they found them and they felt like, oh, you know, I need to bring them somewhere to be cared for, which is totally understandable. Lots of times, though, what they really stumbled onto is kittens whose mother has gone out to go hunt or something.
Exactly.
Like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
so
they
the
didn't. And people
usually
don't.
Only a few hours away.
Is it urban people that don't understand that a tiny litter of newborns with their eyes shut, there is a mother, or are they just assuming the mother got run over, or they think the mother was a bad mother and went to Las Vegas? Do they not know that mama cats do stay with their kittens and they have to go out and eat every so often and get a sip of something from somewhere?
Yeah, I think it's just, somebody's, initial response when they see a group of kittens laying alone, in the yard or behind some trash cans or so on and so forth, that they immediately want to help them. So I don't think the intentions are poor. I just really think it might be a lack of education as to how the whole process works. And especially during the warmer months when this is really, really prevalent, that's when we see the most of this happening.
So what is our advice to your average Joe, meaning well? You see a litter of tiny newborn kittens. The trick isn't just to make sure they're okay, which, by the way, most of the time they will be when mom comes back and gives them lunch. But you want to catch mom because she can turn right around and do this all over again in like 24 hours. I'm exaggerating, but they can have babies really soon thereafter. So what is the best advice?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. So what we always try to tell people who bring kittens in, if possible, we always say if they're able to, put the animals back where they found them and watch them for several hours. It can take mom several hours to be able to go out and hunt and find, little mice or something like that to bring back to provide food for her and her babies. So we say that, if you're able to watch them from afar, because if you're too close, that might scare mom off a little bit.
Right.
Also, some people have the misconception if they touch the kittens, then the mom won't take to them anymore. And that's not true either.
I think we were all told that about birds in a nest, that when birds fall out of a nest. Is that true? Do you know if that is true about birds in a nest?
It's not true for birds either.
Oh, for heaven's sake, guys, just give them back to their moms. And then we got to get their we got to get their moms sorted out, get them to Planned Parenthood. So you watch them for a while and then the mom comes back. And then what are you supposed to do? It's 9 o'clock at night and you're staring out your apartment window with your binoculars.
Exactly. So we usually say, you can there's groups, all over New York City that are able to help educate people on how to trap mother cats. So if it happens to be somewhat of a shyer cat, a cat that's not going to be approachable by people, some cats are actually very friendly and it's easy to just pick everybody up and put them in a carrier and bring them into your local shelter. But that's not always the case. Sometimes mom is very shy or might be what we consider feral. And therefore you may have to trap her in order to get her in as well. And like you said, it's very important if you are able to get her in as well, because you want to get her spayed and neutered. And if she's friendly, hopefully the shelter is able to find a home for her as well. If she's not, if she's considered a feral, there's programs called Trap, Neuter, and Release, where they would trap the cat, they would get the cat spayed so that she can't have any more kittens, and re-release her wherever her colony is. Usually cats have somewhat of a colony or an area that they're living in. And then they're able to live out their lives without having to worry about procreating or contributing to the overpopulation problem. And they help with, keeping your mouse population down.
And your rat population, which in New York is so bad that, we've had an outbreak of leptospirosis spread by the rat urine. So they actually do an incredibly important job in urban areas because rodents, it's often said all rodents spread disease, but then everyone's vague about it. Well, there was just recently, and I don't even think it's resolved, a pretty big crisis in New York City of humans getting leptospirosis from some, contact with rat urine, which means that dogs could also, owned pet dogs could be in contact with the same thing. So the kitties are doing us a good favor. I don't want people to think, and you did explain it really well, that if you bring the mom in, oh man, they'll put her to sleep and just find homes for the babies. That's not how it works, because there are fantastic TNR, trap, neuter, release groups that are devoted to these colonies, and they will bring that cat back or work with the A to do that. And then they look after these groups. I mean, that's the other part about the TNR groups. They bring food to the colony.
Yes. Yes. And that's really important is, knowing that there is a colony and being able to care for them properly as well, giving them, proper sheltering during the inclement weather and making sure that they're getting proper food, and also keeping an eye on them because sometimes they can get, sick or injured. They may need to be trapped and brought in for medical care as well.
And when they do TNR, they give them rabies vaccination and give them a health checkup as well. So you're not putting an ill animal with various viruses that cats can get back into the colony. It's to also make sure the colony stays healthy, which otherwise there's no way of doing it. Do you always need more volunteers? Should we put out a call for volunteers for the
Absolutely, and
ASPCA?
definitely. And what we particularly need as far as volunteer pool goes, I would say, especially with the warmer months right around the corner, is fosters. Definitely foster homes. We're always looking to put our kittens that are, weaned. We consider them weaned once they're able to eat regular kitten food out of a bowl on their own, but they're not always old enough to be spayed and neutered and put up for adoption yet. So usually at that like 5 week mark, they're kind of at that point where they just need a place to go where they can be fed every day, monitored and grow, really socialize, get used to being handled, touched, played with. I know that sounds like a really tough job is play with these kittens. But that is
Someone
something
has
that
to
we
do
always
it.
have a need.
So if someone's a New Yorker, as in New York City, really a bathroom is good enough, right? I mean, if you
Yes.
wanted to have a place to sequester them, because they do litter box train immediately. A kitten attract litter. I'm sure you've used it or recommended it because it has these herbs that teach the kitties to go into the litter box and make it attractive. And then they could have the run of your apartment, but if you were fussy or worried about one thing or another in terms of kitten damage, climbing the drapes, a bathroom's fine, and just as much time as you can spend with them. How long would
Yes.
somebody to be a foster, how big of a commitment is that? Is it 1 week, 3 weeks?
Yeah, so there's different types of fostering that we look for. So I know that we spoke a little bit about, the kittens that come in, litters or kittens by themselves that come in, but we do also get those moms that come in, the friendly moms that come in
Right,
who are
right.
nursing their babies as well. And we would love to be able to get these moms into a home where it's a little bit quieter, where it's a little bit more private. As hard as we work at the shelter, this isn't necessarily the most peaceful place for
Right.
a mom, adult cat to nurse her babies. So that's
So,
another foster opportunity that we have here. And
which is
that might
pretty
be a
fun.
little bit longer.
But the mom keeps the babies clean, at least for a while. You
Yeah.
don't even have to worry about a litter box for more than the mom. So you can
Exactly.
be like
Fed
a
and
spa.
clean.
Yes, fed and clean. No muss, no fuss from the humans at that point. Well,
Yeah.
I hope that anybody that is intrigued by this idea and wants to be the do-gooder you once were before you became a kitten nursery developer, designer, and now manager will get in touch with the ASPCA in Manhattan, because it's a great thing to help with. And little by little, if we can catch those mama cats, of course the daddy cats too, but it only takes one daddy and many mamas to make overpopulation. We can eventually, wouldn't it be great to have you lose your job? Oh, no more
Yes,
kitten nursery. I'll do something else at the
definitely.
ASPCA. That would
I
be a
agree.
dream. Well, Lourdes, what you're doing is great. It's great to know that you've had a lifetime of devotion to wee kittens. It's wonderful, and I'll bet you never get sick of them.
Never.
I know, they're just so divine. There's nothing more yummy than a tiny kitten. So thanks for doing the great work you're doing, and thanks to the ASPCA for having created this kitten nursery so that all these little kitties can live and find a new home and have a long, happy, healthy life. Thanks a lot, Lourdes.
Thank you, Tracy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope this conversation has deepened your understanding and affection for cats everywhere. It's been brought to you by Dr. Elsie's, which has broken new ground by creating a healthy, dry, and canned food for kitties called Clean Protein, which is inspired by the protein levels found in a cat's natural prey, so your cat's appetite is satisfied longer without compromising her health. This is the first dry cat food I believe can be a healthy choice if you want to feed dry food to your cat, even as part of her diet, although I recommend that canned food should always be your cat's primary diet. Feel free to reach out to me with questions or comments to radiopetlady@gmail.com. Now pop over to Amazon Prime or Tubi TV, where you can watch streaming versions of the Cat Film Festival for free. Also, thanks to Dr. Elsie's.